This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
We're on to the divisional round of the NFL playoffs, and DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, is celebrating with a huge odds boost for new customers. Counting down to Super Bowl 56, you can get 56-1 odds on any team. Bet just $5 and get $280 in free bets if your team wins. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps and get 50-1 odds on any NFL team. Bet just $5 and win $280 in free bets if your team wins. That's promo code FANRUN in all caps for 56-1 odds at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 years or older in Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.
You're tuned in to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
And hello, good afternoon, and welcome to another stellar edition of The Drive here on Fan Run Radio. Russell Smith punching the time clock on a beautiful Tuesday afternoon in East Tennessee. Hope you're doing well. Thanks for tuning into the show this afternoon. We have much to discuss. Jake Miller hanging out with me today. Bear will be along a little bit later. What up, Jake Miller?
What do you say there, W?
Doing good. Doing good. Hope you are.
Oh, yeah.
Chilly out there today, man.
A little bit.
Supposed to warm up tomorrow. It's going to be like 50 degrees, but it's supposed to rain, too. So.
And then look what's going to happen on Thursday.
More snow?
Oh, yeah.
All right. All right. That's how it is, I suppose. Here we go. We told you yesterday, today is the one-year anniversary. 1 year ago today, it was, what time was that press conference? Was that in?
That was a noon press
it was
conference.
It was a nooner?
Yeah.
Man, what a day.
Yeah, I got a little nug from my buddy about 9:30 that morning saying, hey, expect something around noon. And he was right.
Dondi Plowman, Randy Boyd, and Philip Fulmer. Fulmer up there in like three jackets. Yeah, he had like a quarter zip on underneath.
Underneath a sweatshirt.
With a sport coat over it with the collar popped.
And recruiting has been good.
Oh, Fulmer. And that's the last we've seen or heard of him. Like he pops up at all these games, but he hasn't done any media since then, right?
Well, he had the comment after Jeremy Pruitt came out and threatened to sue the university. And
oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
This was all Jeremy's fault. I didn't know anything that was happening. He had a prime opportunity given to him, and he just screwed it up.
Damn, Jake Miller does a really good Fulmer. That is impressive, young man. Yeah, so a year ago today. And look where Tennessee football is 1 year later. I mean, that always just the who you going to get crowd and all that stuff, like, because there was a debate, remember? Before it was done, a lot of people thought he was going to hold on. He's going, oh, this is something that's going to blow over. Look at Will Wade. Look at Bruce Pearl. Like, he's going to be fine. They're not going to do anything. And, you know, it's not our style to pat ourselves on the back and say, I told you so here on The Drive. But we were sitting here saying, I don't know about that. I don't know. You're in some pretty scandalous allegations.
Well, it just depends on how good you are at the sport you're coaching.
Yeah.
Will Wade, Bruce Pearl, they're doing very well where they're at.
Yeah.
Jeremy Pruitt went 3-7.
And that's something I want to talk to our first guest of the day about coming up here in just a few minutes. Adam Sparks from the Knoxville News Sentinel had a really good write-up about the NCAA investigation, the whole situation, where it stands this past weekend over in the Sentinel. And I do think it's an interesting point, Jake, because Tennessee's whole position on all this is like, look, We did the right thing. As soon as we found out, we investigated, and as soon as we confirmed the allegations, we fired. Not only Pruitt, but two of his assistants and a bunch of support staff people, the players that were alleged to have taken part of impermissible benefits are no longer here. They've moved on. We cut ties immediately. And furthermore, as we continue to investigate over the course of pretty much the entire 2021 calendar year, we had the NCAA, we had complete transparency. The NCAA was sitting in on the meetings. They're on the Zoom calls. We giving them transcripts, working with them hand in hand. Okay, that's great. Would you have done that if Jeremy Pruitt didn't suck?
Probably not.
And that, to me, is one of the many interesting facets in all this. Is like how is the NCAA going to respond to all of this? Who is going to respond to all this? What's it even going to look like? As apparently there's some big meetings going on as we speak this very week to determine the future of the NCAA and what its enforcement staff will look like moving forward. So we'll talk to Adam Sparks coming up here in just a minute, the latest on the Tennessee NCAA investigation. Look, Tennessee, I get where they're coming from. And another thing we can ask Adam is, like, hindsight being 2020, was it really a good idea to have that press conference with Donnie Plowman and Randy Boyd up there talking about all the things that Pruitt did, the level of the deceit and everything? I forget what her exact quotes were, but she was pretty open about it back then, and a lot of people don't think that's such a good idea looking back on it. So we'll talk to him about all that. We've got Tennessee basketball tonight in Nashville, and a game Rick Barnes needs to win. I mean, I don't think he's in any trouble as far as his job status is concerned, but I think the program is in trouble of losing some momentum. I think Rick Barnes is generally a very popular figure here in East Tennessee, despite what some of the very loud and vocal naysayers say on social media and talk radio. I think people like him, people like his program, people like his team. That being said, can't go into Nashville and lose tonight to Vanderbilt and then throw up another stinker this weekend against Will Wade and LSU and expect a lot of enthusiasm around the team going ahead. And wouldn't that stink if Tennessee were to lose some of that?
That'd be very detrimental. I mean, if you lose tonight, you have to win against LSU. I mean, there's no question about it. Will Wade's beat you for the past however long it's been. I think 2017, 2018 was the last time that he beat us, or we beat him. You have to win that if you lose tonight.
And as much as Will Wade has owned Tennessee, Tennessee has owned Vanderbilt over that same stretch, they're not going to have any students in the building. It's not going to be a typical Memorial Gym home crowd, home court atmosphere, home court advantage. So you better go in there and take care of business. And you better bring that defense that you didn't bring with you to Lexington to Nashville tonight. Because Vanderbilt's not nearly as good as Kentucky. They're a one-man team, right? I mean, it's Scottie Pippen Jr., and I'm sure we're going to throw the kitchen sink at him as far as different guys. I'm sure Chandler will get a chance. I kind of like Vescovi against him in some of these situations, and maybe even Josiah Jordan-James. You can't let him just have his way with you, go off for 30 or something like that. And lost in the what happened Saturday at Rupp was the fact that Tennessee shot over 50% from three-point range and had its best shooting night of conference play so far. So if you can keep that going, that's what we want to see.
Absolutely. And, you know, the betting line for tonight, we're only a 6.5-point favorite going into the game.
I don't think it's a shoe-in. I don't think it's a slam dunk necessarily. Well, how about the NFL playoffs? Four of the six games this past weekend ended up just being blowouts. We'll see what happens in the divisional round. But you've got four intriguing matchups. The home team are favorites in all these. I think the biggest line of this one is what, 5 or 6? Green Bay, I think, is favored at home in their game. I like that Rams team taking on Brady and the Bucks in Tampa, an intriguing matchup as well. Probably the best game just from a sheer entertainment standpoint is going to be Bills-Chiefs in KC, a rematch of last year's AFC Championship game. Then, of course, my Titans playing at home against the Bengals. I will be there. I've been planning all week, Jake. It's looking like it's going to be pretty chilly up there. You know, I don't deal with the cold very well. Looking like it's going to be mid-30s-ish at kickoff. And then, obviously, the sun will set in Nashville, and it'll be around the freezing mark or maybe even a little cooler by the time the game ends.
I get you some party foul chicken in the luxury seats, and you're good.
Party foul chicken?
Yeah.
I'm not – is this like Nashville hot chicken?
Oh, yeah.
Warm you up a little bit? I'm thinking about investing in a good pair of mittens. I read online that mittens are warmer than actual gloves with the fingers, right?
Oh, yeah.
I don't have mittens. Do you have mittens?
I don't. No, I don't have
it. It just sounds like a very non-masculine clothing. Hey, Jake, you got some mittens?
Let me borrow some mittens there,
Russell. Some mittens? Hey, man.
Yes, Russell.
Put your mittens on.
Got any mittens?
Martin's got mittens. But no, I was doing my research last night, because that's what I do.
We do our research. Have you done your research?
And trying to make sure I had some good socks and long johns.
The best socks.
A good base layer, all that stuff. Merino wool, is that's what they say is the way to go? Moisture wicking technology?
Yeah.
Because you got to stay dry. You just don't want to sweat. You start getting sweaty feet, and then it's cold outside. That's a recipe for disaster.
That's not a good combo. The best socks that you can buy for situations like that are probably Fox River.
Fox River?
Yeah.
All right, I'm gonna look those up.
I'll get you a discount on them.
Oh, very nice. So, I'm going to look that up here during the break. All right, let's take a quick timeout right here, get things started with Adam Sparks of KnoxNews.com. When we continue, it's The Drive on Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.
Winning season returns at MyBookie.com, and it's time to get in on the action. First-time players can get started by doubling your first time.
Welcome back. The Drive continues on Fan Run Radio. Russell Smith, Jake Miller cruising along with you. Tuesday afternoon edition of the show. Pleased to be joined right now by Adam Sparks of KnoxNews.com. Good afternoon, Adam. How are you, sir?
I'm really good. How y'all doing?
Hey, doing very well. Thanks so much for jumping on with us. Really enjoyed your piece this past weekend on the Tennessee situation with the NCAA, a year after the Jeremy Pruitt era came to an end. Tennessee football still dealing with the after effects of the mess that Pruitt left behind. Just as a starting point, Adam, kind of catch us up on what's happening this week with the NCAA. They're having some meetings and looking at some of the problems that organization has as it pertains to rules enforcement moving forward.
Yeah, so there's a few layers to this. I think the one that we're going to get some action more immediately is going to be the Constitution. The NCAA has drawn up a new Constitution. It's sort of streamlining it, cutting it down from, you know, a million pages to 10, so to speak. And the biggest change in that is some amended language that says, if you're an innocent student athlete, you shouldn't take the brunt of the punishment or the penalties NCAA case when you are innocent. That in sort of the read between the lines there is that it's going to lessen the use of the postseason ban, the bowl ban. So the idea is, if coaches cheated and they're no longer there, and if players were part of the cheating and they're no longer there, the remaining athletes, the remaining players, shouldn't pay the penalty for that postseason ban. So it's gonna make future cases, and probably Tennessee's case, because it'll be under this, It'll make those cases lean more towards scholarship reductions, financial fines, things like that, that will keep teams from postseason bans. That's not to say that Tennessee will not get a bowl ban, but it certainly works in their favor because the momentum with the new constitution is headed that way.
Which you never want to have the NCAA on campus. You never want to be going through what Tennessee's going through. But as far as timing goes, Adam, these changes are ideal for a situation like Tennessee because, I mean, let's be honest, if this were 20 years ago, Tennessee'd probably be fixing to get hammered pretty hard. I know they don't do the death penalty anymore, but I don't think they'd be getting off with a slap on the wrist.
No, that's right. I mean, I've been asked a few times since I put this piece out, was there any strategy in this for Tennessee, knowing that NCAA legislation was headed this way, or was this just sort of dumb luck? And it's more of the second one. They're fortunate that the tide is turning a lot in how people approach in the perspective of NCAA policies as far as how you punish programs. That just happens to be happening while Tennessee just closed its internal investigation, and it's now in the hands of the NCAA. Now, that they decided not to self-impose their own bowl ban, knowing that the momentum was headed this way. But, I mean, there's other factors that's that could be beneficial to UT as well. There's some groups that are presenting ideas, policy changes to the NCAA Board of Directors for schools to get an easier way for the NCAA to come down easier on schools that cooperate, that self-report, that are very transparent in the process of the investigation. UT did that. They hope that helps them, and there's an idea, some momentum towards the idea of punishing individuals more than programs if you take the right action. In other words, if you have a coach that's cheating and you fire that coach will suffer more than the program does, and obviously that goes to the case that UT's trying to make in how it fired Jeremy Pruitt, two assistants and seven staff members. Whether the NCAA buys into that or not, we'll see. But all the policy changes are working into Tennessee's favor.
And as you wrote about, by the way, a little piece of breaking news, guys, Knox County Schools out again tomorrow. You gotta love Knox County Schools, Adam. It's like just the hint of ice anywhere. Oh, we got a little icicle and a rock outside I-40 somewhere. Let's close down all the schools for the entire day. Where were these people when I was in school, man?
I don't know. I grew up in Tennessee, and that's the way that's the way it is a lot of places in rural areas. But I'm in Hardin Valley and looking out my window, and it's green grass. I don't see much white. So good for those kids and teachers, I guess. My wife is a teacher, but
yeah,
she's in Oak Ridge, so that they rarely get out for snow. I'll have to move to Knox County, I guess, when the next snow gets here.
Back to this NCAA stuff. Tennessee, another fortunate thing working in their favor, Adam, is that they have some representation on some of these groups that are working to implement these changes. I don't think that Tennessee is, you know, trying to stack the deck, so to speak, in its own favor. But you got to feel better if you're a Tennessee fan knowing that you do have somebody that would advocate for Tennessee's interests working on these situations.
Yeah, the Constitutional Committee, that's the one that's drawn up this new constitution that could limit the use of postseason bans. That committee has two people on it from the SEC, and one of them is Tennessee's faculty rep. So that's a voice in the room.
Yeah.
And then the association that represents the athletic directors that are making the other cases of punishing bad actors, that would be usually the coaches, giving credit to schools that self-report and transparent. That association has one of its 17 members that drew up those policy changes is Tennessee's deputy athletic director of football. And so, you know, it never hurts to have a voice in the room. You could look that a little cynical and say, they're pushing policy changes that happen to to help them. But I'll say that all these policy changes are pretty popular with NCAA, so they're not really going against the grain in pushing those along.
Talking with Adam Sparks, KnoxNews.com, this afternoon. And, you know, Adam, obviously UT wants to get this situation behind them as quickly as possible. And it seems, again, these changes are beneficial. Are we sure that Tennessee will be judged by these changes? You wrote that they've already wrapped up their investigation. They wrapped it up in November. Where is it at right now? Are they waiting to adjudicate this once the NCAA makes those changes, or are there people looking at this right now? Is there a chance that it could be judged under the old rules?
I think they haven't gotten a notice of allegations yet. Once you get that, then the next step in the process is you can accept it or you can appeal it, or and there's different levels of the appeal that you can go through. But they haven't gotten the notice of allegations yet. I don't necessarily expect that to come any day soon. We don't know what regime they're going to be judged under, the old constitution or the new one, but probably the new one, because this is going to take a while. And, in a weird way, I think it may work in Tennessee's favor if this is dragged out longer. I know there's a feeling that you want to expedite this and get the case settled quickly and move on, but the longer this takes, the better chance you're going to be under new NCAA legislation possibly, and maybe get some mitigated penalties.
Do you think in hindsight, Dondi Plowman wishes she hadn't been so blunt in that press conference a year ago today?
Yeah, I wondered the same thing because, yeah, she did use a lot of adjectives of shocking and stunning and egregious penalties, and you're sort of tipping your hand at the NCAA saying, if you come down us really hard, we understand because of how we describe these things. But it was a tough balance there because she's also trying to give reason for firing a coach with cause and not paying him $12.6 million. So you kind of have to play both sides of the argument there. I thought in hindsight they did probably close to as well as they could, but that really just depends on what the NCAA says. If the NCAA comes back with sort of moderate penalties and they don't have to pay Jeremy Pruitt his buyout, then you made a bad situation a little better than it would have otherwise been.
So here's another thing that's interesting in all this, right, is it was a lot easier to show Jeremy Pruitt the door when he goes 3-7 last year and is not necessarily super popular with the fan base. There's a reason that Will Wade is hanging on at LSU, right? They would have cut ties with him if he weren't as successful as he was. Do you think that I know I'm asking you to speculate here, but is that in the back of the NCAA, the infraction committee members' minds that, hey, yeah, you quote-unquote did the right thing, but it's a lot easier to do when the right thing involves firing an unpopular coach who you were probably going to have to fire eventually anyway?
Yeah, I mean, I think that depends on how egregious they think the penalties are. I mean, you know, we've heard and we've seen comments about what they are and impermissible benefits and having to, being tied to recruiting. It depends on how involved Jeremy Pruitt was or how knowledgeable he potentially was of those things and how they're going to judge that. I don't think you have to be a cynic to say that if Jeremy Pruitt was 7-3 as opposed to 3-7, he may have not been shown the door as quickly. And I'm not saying that's a perspective of Tennessee. I'm saying that's a perspective of college football. But as it is, if it's shown enough in their case that Jeremy Pruitt had some knowledge and had some involvement in the alleged violations, I don't think the NCAA is going to mind much at all that they fired him with cause. They may even give them credit for doing so.
Talking with Adam Sparks of KnoxNews.com here this afternoon. Adam, are we going to see eventually a report that lays out what the violations were that occurred under Pruitt exactly? It's a lot of speculation. I think we all can all kind of read between the lines and know what we're talking about. But are we going to see a report that says, this guy did this on this date with this player, and this is what happened?
Yeah, it will get some kind of report. It'll be made public eventually. Again, you've got to go through the notice of allegations, all the appeals, all that process before those things are out. Even when you get it, it depends on who's implicated and whether or not they're redacted. I think we're certainly going to find out what coaches were found guilty of doing certain actions. I have no doubt about that. They'll have to make that public.
Do you think it's reasonable to assume that UT, when they wrapped up their investigation and, you know, gave whatever report they gave to the NCAA, discussed sanctions with the NCAA and said, hey, if we go ahead and self-impose this, is that likely to be sufficient to where we can put this thing behind us and put it to bed whenever we receive the notice of allegations, we're all in agreement, there's nothing new here, and we can just move on and not turn this into a, you know, five-year North Carolina situation?
Well, was there conversation? Probably. It's a pretty transparent process of what we understand, but the idea of sort of coming up with a plea bargain ahead of time, that's not so much the case. And actually, that's part of the arguments for policy changes with the Constitution and other NCAA policies now, is that if you look back at all these cases over all the years, there's so many inconsistencies where one investigator would come down harder in their findings on one school and a different investigator would be lighter and softer. And often you wouldn't know what your fate was or what that investigator or the committee infractions thought until you got your notice of allegations. Sometimes you'd say, well, that's kind of what I expected. And other times you'd be a little bit in shock. And that's part of the new recommendations, to fix that where it's standardized and you don't have to guess. If you commit this crime, you have this attached sentence and you sort of know what that is going into it, and you don't have to guess when you self-impose penalties.
Kind of off topic, another conversation here, Adam, but what about all this NIL stuff? And that's probably a bigger conversation. You know, we kind of here in East Tennessee are thinking about the enforcement process a lot more. I think nationally the NIL stuff is a much bigger issue that the NCAA, or they're looking for some guidance on. Do you think that we're getting closer to that as far as rules and regulations are concerned to govern that?
I don't have much faith in that. I know they're trying to catch up to it. It's so hard to get ahead of it because it seems to be changing by the week, and loopholes are being created and discovered. You know, I mean, as almost everything in college athletics, it ends up going to the loopholes come into recruiting. So, you know, the idea of NIL initially was, you know, this star player who's a senior and a two-year starter, he's going to get $5,000 to be a spokesman for the local car dealership. And sure, that's happened a few places, but it's really turned more into let's give a bag of money to a five-star recruit that's coming in. And so you have where the money is being paid more to players coming in as opposed to the star players that are already on the team. It reminds me of the NFL back a few years ago before they had a rookie salary cap, where the quarterback drafted in the first round would get more money than any of the 10-year veterans already on the NFL team. And they had to find a way to fix that, and they're probably going to have to find a way to fix this, because it's going to be really lopsided when the senior starting quarterback is making less NIL money than the five-star freshman that they just signed.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's become a recruiting tool. And, I mean, if you think this is unseemly, what's going on now, wait until they start identifying these kids at a younger age, and you see a guy as, you know, a senior in high school with a $1 million endorsement deal provided by the booster of some school that's recruiting him. And I mean, can you imagine being 17 years old in high school, big man on campus, pulling up in your new Camaro that's all legally paid for and everything?
Yeah, and you have all these collectives now at all the different schools that are putting money together, and it's supposed to be something separate from a university, but again, all the loopholes are already discovered that it looks more like money going from university to athlete. That's not what it was supposed to be, but it didn't take long to get to something that's akin to that.
Not long at all. All right, Adam, last thing, we'll let you run here. Back to the UT side of the NCAA investigation. How much do you think all of this is hampering Josh Heupel and his staff right now in their recruiting efforts, not only with high school players, but in the transfer portal?
It's not really hurting them in terms of the players that they're trying to go get. I think where it hurts you is your total numbers. So where you would normally have a max of 85 scholarships, I think they're working in the 70s. They were at 71 last year. I think they're going to be in the 70s again this next year. You can still field the team and field a competitive team with those types of numbers, but you have to be more selective in the portal, especially since they've already signed, 20 players, I think, on signing day. You can't just go out and just grab anybody in the portal. You've got to keep your numbers down to show that you self-imposed scholarship reduction.
Adam, great stuff as always, my friend. Appreciate you jumping on. Go follow him on Twitter, folks, at Adam Sparks, and, of course, KnoxNews.com. Thanks, man.
All right, good to be on.
Yep, Adam Sparks, KnoxNews.com. Very interesting stuff as Tennessee tries to wriggle off the hook from the NCAA, or will they be one of the last schools to get the book thrown at them? We'll find out. Here we are, Jake, as we go to break. A year removed from Pruitt's dismissal. Jeremy Pruitt fired a year ago today. By this time next year, January 18th, 2023, will we know the answer to Tennessee's NCAA situation? Will it all be behind us a year from now?
I think so. I mean, just from what we've seen, you know, just with college basketball this past year with Kofi Coburn and a couple others that they've moved quick with, like the James Wiseman situation. Honest God, I think we're going to know within the next year what's going to happen. I just hope we're not the last one to get the book thrown at him.
Hope you're right. Stay with us. The drive continues. We're going to get Barron here when we continue. Open up the phone lines as well. 865-546-8200. 546-8200, your number to get on the drive. Back with more after this.
The drive.
Doing well. You get a chance to listen to our conversation with Adam Sparks?
Absolutely.
What did you learn?
The couple interesting things that jumped out to me is did when Chancellor Plowman was, if she could go back, I wonder if she would maybe not be quite as open in the adjectives like Adam was talking about that she used in that press conference a year ago today that kind of tipped her hand. And then the other thing, the transfer portal. And, it hadn't occurred to me until he said it, but it's a perfect analogy is you're going to have freshmen coming in that are going to be making a lot more than guys that have been in the program, blood, sweat, and tears for, years. And then you got these guys coming in, and the analogy to how the NFL draft used to be. The one that always jumps out at me is Oklahoma quarterback. He got like a ridiculous, like $60, $70 million contract.
Sam Bradford
never, wasn't a very good NFL quarterback. And, you got guys that have been playing in the league for years and not making they're only making a fraction of what that guy made. So they're going to have to address the transfer portal and the NIL. They're going to have some kind of structure and rules with this, I think. But it'll be interesting to see what he was talking about with Dondi Plowman with that press conference. I hope it doesn't come back to bite us on the rear end.
Yeah, I hear a lot of people saying that. I don't see how it could, because the NCAA is not going to levy penalties based on adjectives used in a press conference. They're, it's like a police investigation, right? I mean, you're not going to go on here. You're going to go on the evidence. You're going to go on what's presented, what can be proven. And, I think what can be proven and is presented is going to be damning enough without anything that she said.
Yeah, we aren't talking about a think tank of geniuses when you're talking about Pruitt, Niedermeyer, and Felton and that crew. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. We better not. I'm telling you, we better not get hammered. I don't think they want to open that up. Not with this fan base.
Fan run out of context. We better not get hammered. If that's as bad as we get hit with today, that'll be a minor victory, in my opinion.
Caught myself yesterday, yeah. So I didn't get got by.
Do you context. Do you find yourself subconsciously like thinking about fan run out of context now? It's like, oh man.
Not really.
I feel like they pick on me, Bear. I feel like they get me worse than just
pick
about
on any. You.
Yeah. It's unfair.
For the first time, there was something that came up last week where they went kind of beyond just being funny and taking something out of context with me. I didn't really care for.
I was mad they didn't get T-Fair the day we were talking about Madden. He's like, man, the first thing you did when you knew you were in the game, you got on the game and you played with yourself.
Folks, each win means that much more in the NFL playoffs. That's why FanDuel Sportsbook is hooking new customers up with 30-1 enhanced odds for the divisional round of the playoffs. Bet $5 to win $150 on any team to win any divisional playoff game. So no matter which game you like, no matter which team you like, you can put $5 down, and if your team wins, you get $150. Just sign up for FanDuel Sportsbook and make a deposit to claim your 30-1 enhanced odds. There's no better place to bet the NFL playoffs than on America's number one sportsbook. You know why. It's simple. It's easy to use. The app is simple to get set up with. They've got generous promotions like this every single day. And best of all, it's safe and secure with best-in-class customer service. When you win, you get your winnings in as little as just 2 hours. If you're already a FanDuel user, FanDuel's hooking all customers up with $50 when you refer a friend, plus your friend is going to get $50 too. Don't miss your chance to win $150 on just a $5 bet when you use promo code DRIVE1. When signing up, download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Use promo code DRIVE1 and pick your divisional playoff team before kickoff. This weekend, you must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. New users only. $10 first deposit required. Must wager in designated offer market. Max bonus $150. Bonus for Tennessee users fulfilled in site credit within 72 hours. Tennessee site credit expires 14 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call Tennessee Red Line 1-800-889-9789. Tennessee basketball on the road tonight at Vanderbilt. Bear and I will be live as soon as the game is over on Twitter Spaces.
Breaking it down.
Yep.
Scientifically.
Hopefully, Bear, you just get out of there with a nice workmanlike victory. It's a late tip. We start around 11 on Twitter Spaces, wrap that puppy up, and like I would be fine with a 30 to 45 minute Twitter Spaces, take a couple of speakers and just get in bed, call it a day. We don't need to lose to Vanderbilt tonight and be on for 2 hours till 1 a.m. bashing Rick Barnes.
No, I'd rather spend a good 45 minutes to maybe an hour and 15 just making fun of Vanderbilt, hammering Jerry Krackhouse, and calling it a night.
That's plenty. Maybe get off the rails around midnight.
Oh, I've got one for us. Off the rails.
Have some borderline inappropriate conversation, stuff that might get us canceled if we were on a little bit bigger platform.
I'm telling you, I've got maybe – I wish – unfortunately, Davey's not going to be able to make it with us tonight. I'm debating whether or not to hold this one that I've got in my pocket until Davey returns. It's that good.
Well, you're in charge Saturday because Davey and I are going to the Titans game. So, like, what are you gonna like? Are you gonna host a? I mean,
it depends.
Will Wade's in town. We got to have something, right?
I'll do it with you.
There's like
Jake and Bear,
15-20 people that work at the station, and you know, Jake's the first person to offer to help. So, yeah, we'll figure something out. Person I'm talking to is listening right now. They know who I'm talking about.
What
calling
about,
you out, big boy?
What about so Titans kick off at 4:30, right?
Yes. 4:15.
4:30 Eastern.
No, 4:30. Be 4:30 Eastern, 3:30 Central.
Yeah, that game will be over about what, 8:30?
Roughly.
You don't.
What time's tip with LSU?
6:00.
So it'll be over about 8:00. I kind of feel like you and Davey could join in. You might be late, but
I mean, we won't know what happened. I mean, we'll be even more uninformed than you typically are when you take to the airwaves.
You want to walk that back?
Not particularly.
One chance.
Not particularly.
All right. We'll react accordingly for the rest of this show and possibly the rest of the week. Appreciate it, Russ.
I got you.
Yeah.
I got you. 865-546-8200. Your number if you want to get on the show this afternoon. 546-8200. You know, what I love about the show is we come on yesterday. We're the only show at the station that could be bothered to come in and put forth an offering on a snowy MLK day. It's all good. We come in and we do the thing. We're talking Tennessee basketball mostly, a little football talk. Is the roof leaking again?
No, just making sure it wasn't.
Okay. And we do our thing. And I think, man, you know what? We really leaned into it today. We really put out some good content for 3 hours. And I get home, and I'm watching the playoff game last night, and I'm wanting to see some of the reaction to the show from social media. And do I get, like, any back and forth about the basketball team or about the NCAA stuff we discussed, about Heupel, about the NFL playoffs, anything? No. But what do I get tons of response about?
Probably the pulled pork incident.
The list of awesome things Bear hates.
Really?
Oh, God. Probably my favorite interaction was a DM I got from Stan the Man, who wrote, pull this up. Russ, the only thing more ridiculous than the list of awesome things Bear hates is Bandwagon Bear trying to weasel his way onto the Titans train.
Who is this again?
Fan Run does not forget all the Titans hate and slander he has spewed for years now on the drive. If your Titans win, Bear should be forced to eat Thanksgiving dinner in a dry fit shirt while listening to Huey Lewis in the news playing over the video of Hoosiers on Christmas Day at Disney World, key lime pie for dessert. It's pretty good. It's pretty good.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
It's pretty good.
Stan the Man's a punk and a clown.
Oh!
Can't have the turkey, though. You got to have the ham.
I don't even know what to say to that.
I mean, to anybody else, that sounds like, I mean, hey, man, you're going to give me a nice dry fit shirt, take me down to Disney World, feed me Thanksgiving dinner, a little Huey Lewis in the news, one of the great sports movies of all time, on Christmas with a nice slice of key lime pie for dessert. Boom, where do I sign up? Bear's like, oh, no, that sounds like the seventh circle of hell. Please, no. Anybody else? That sounds like heaven. Bear's like, no, man, it's all the things I hate. You're just overwhelmed with anxiety just thinking about it, aren't you?
No, because no anxiety at all. Because number one, I don't care what DJ Stan the Man has to say. It should be apparent to you after almost 6 years of doing a show together that I don't really care what you think, and I'll do what I want. And if I decide I'm going to root for the Titans this weekend, I'll root for them.
I don't care. I'll do what I want. What are you, 7 years old? Quick timeout. The Drive continues. Back to wrap up hour number one of the show right after this.
The Drive.
So you're watching the game and you see another ad for FanDuel. We'll be right back. Wrap it up. Hour number one of The Drive. It has flown by this afternoon on Fan Run Radio. Russell Beer and Jake back with you. What a Bruce Pearl's daughter snapping at the fans on social media a little bit today.
Jackie?
I didn't realize she was still in Knoxville.
Yeah.
She's running some sort of camp or something here.
She got some kind of foundation or charity thing.
She could really belt it out. Remember, weren't we like undefeated when she sung the national anthem?
That sounds really familiar. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, she was fantastic.
What was she upset about?
I guess she's saying that some Tennessee fans are being mean to Bruce Pearl online, which is interesting because the Tennessee fans I see online and talk to on this show love Bruce Pearl and would throw Rick Barnes in front of an oncoming train to hire him back, which I think is unseemly and ridiculous, but I mean that's kind of true to me.
Yeah. And let's not act like he didn't try and get involved with that Memphis job and the UCLA job when Rick Barnes heisted Brandy Boyd and Phil Fulmer for $5 million a year.
You think it's a heist, huh?
Yeah, I mean, he used his leverage, that's for sure.
Don't hate the player, hate the game. That's what I always say.
Uh-huh.
Rick Barnes got paid. I do not begrudge Rich Barnes anything. He's acting exactly as you or anybody else would under similar circumstances. Don't forget that.
Are we talking about Barnes or Pearl?
Anybody. Well, Pearl's getting paid down there too, right? I mean, he's made to a Final Four. He's making at least what Rick Barnes is making.
I'd just gotten reminded of this. You remember when Pearl was trying to get involved with Memphis?
Yeah. He was on the plane getting set to go there. You'd basically taken the job. We'll get back into this when we continue. The revisionist history with the followers of Brucifer is really something to behold. But I'm sorry that...
Look at you, Philly and Willie.
Don't be mean to his daughter who's still here in Knoxville. That's not necessary. Stay with us. Hour number two of The Drive coming up. It's Fan Run Radio.